is not always easy for people, but it will create that connection that we need to become more inclusive. I believe the truer that you are, the more authentic that you are, will create a connection that will help us move forward.
My name is Katharina, and I'm the Community and Event Manager at eCulture, a company that is on a mission to shape the world of unbiased hiring. Welcome to the Oops, I'm Biased podcast.
On today's episode of the Oops, I'm Biased podcast, I am speaking to Gwen Collado. She is the Global Head of D&I at Hexaware and Mobiquity. We are recording this conversation off the back of part one. So if you haven't listened to that yet, please go and listen to Inclusive Leadership on Cognizance of Bias and Cultural Intelligence. In this conversation, we're covering the four remaining traits: collaboration, courage, commitment, and curiosity. We had a really eye-opening conversation around what it means to be an inclusive leader, why it is so important, and then we dive a little deeper into the specific traits. I really hope that you enjoy this episode. And without further ado, here is my conversation with Gwen Collado on inclusive leadership. Hi, Gwen. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Kat. Nice to be back.
Yeah, it's really nice to have you. You've been quite a frequent guest, but we've actually never had a conversation on air, which I'm excited to have today. Before we jump into the subject at hand, which is inclusive leadership, can you give us a brief introduction to yourself?
Yeah, sure. Well, my name is Gwen, born and raised in the Netherlands, and my career has always been in people and culture. Mostly in international organizations. Throughout my career, I could see that, you know, focus was on diversity inclusion always, although it was named maybe differently in the past, or not, you know, as significant as it is today. At the moment, I am leading diversity, equity and inclusion globally for a Indian tech company called Hexaware, and also for Mobiquity, my previous my former employer and organization that was acquired by Hexaware. So yeah, very much enjoying my my new official role in this space. Very interesting, very close to my heart, I'm very passionate about it. And I'm, you know, joining up with eCulture is also something that I really enjoy. So happy to be here.
Yeah, it's maybe also good to mention, I think, well, most of our listeners know if they listened to the previous episode that we just published, that you are on the expert panel, the Breaking Bias expert panel for eCulture. And we're very lucky to have you on that expert panel with your focus area on inclusive leadership, which is the topic that we're going to talk about today. We are going to cover, according to Deloitte's model, the six traits of inclusive leaders. And Gwen joined us for a session on the Breaking Bias Summit in May to talk all about it. So please go back and listen to that before you continue on this one. But now let's jump into the topic. I want to start a bit more general because I think it'll give quite a good underpinning of what we're going to talk about today. How would you define in your own words what inclusive leadership is and what it means to you?
Well, inclusive leadership to me is simply leading a group of people that is diverse. And with diverse, you can think about, you know, different backgrounds, nationalities, identities, experiences. Now the world is, you know, so global. You have all these, you know, different people coming together in teams. And one way to lead is probably not sufficient anymore because people have their own, you know, needs, their own aspirations. And their own guidance that they need. So I think inclusive leadership is all about looking at people individually and their uniqueness, and at the same time, you know, have grouped them together as a team. And therefore people, you know, feel comfortable to be part of that team, be part of the organization, and that they can thrive as they are. And be them full, that you know, their full selves as much as possible and as much as you know, can be expected in the team and the organization. So I think that is simply said what inclusive leadership is for me.
Yeah. And why do you think it is so important for businesses to actually have inclusive leaders on board? Why is leadership in itself not enough, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, it's just more imperative to do, because we the world is changing so fast. We have all these different people coming into our organizations. And to simply acknowledge and listen and hear and respect all these different individuals, inclusive leadership to me, and thank God for a lot of other people as well, it's just a social and moral imperative, the right thing to do. But it's also a business imperative. You know, if you think about that changing world, you know, all these different demands, the shifting demands, the shifting markets, all these stakeholders that want different things and also want to see themselves represented in the organization that you are. And also, of course, the people that work with you want to see themselves represented in their organization, the candidates that you want to attract. You know, the challenges that we see nowadays, the unpredictable future, the ambiguity that comes along with that. I think the way to manage that is to have different ideas, thoughts, experiences, ways of looking at things, challenges, communication. Looking at problems or looking at solutions, or looking at success. You need these different people. So if you think about, and I spoke about this in another podcast as well with Charlotte, if you think about, you know, the big challenges that organizations face today, attracting talent, retaining talent, international footprint, deepening international footprints and relationships with customers and clients. I think diversity, equity, and inclusion is one of the best answers to that. So if you think about it more, D&I can be seen as a business enabler. It is really a true enabler for business success, for sustainable growth, and to steer your company towards higher heights and success in the future. So, I would say that is why, to me, inclusive leadership is an imperative, and it's non-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think very well summarized. I think there's so many reasons why inclusive leadership is so important. And also in a second step, D&I is incredibly important because inclusive leaders are sort of the, well, as I see it, the champions of the D&I agenda at any organization. So there's so many reasons why do it. And there's hardly any of why not, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how I see it as well.
Great. In the first part of this two-part episode, you spoke about the first two traits, so cognizance of bias and cultural intelligence. You said that you, well, particularly liked them, chose them for that session, but I thought we can't leave people hanging. We need to cover the other four. So can you run us really briefly through what are the other four, and then we're taking a deeper dive into each one?
Yeah, sure. Well, we have curiosity as the third one then, the fourth one, collaboration. And then we have commitment and courage. And yesterday when I was prepping a bit for this conversation, I all of a sudden saw it was six C's. I never saw that before, but there are six C's. So that is sort of a bridge, a helping bridge in your mind. Curiosity, collaboration, commitment, and courage are the four other topics of the six traits described by Deloitte.
Great. Yeah, I will link the Deloitte model in the show notes as well for everyone who's listening now who wants to take a deeper dive or sort of see it in a visual form. Think that sometimes helps to make it a bit more tangible. Let's start with commitment. It sounds like a very straightforward fact, sort of commitment's the basis for everything that you do in your job, but is it really a given, assuming that all inclusive leaders are by default committed, or shouldn't everyone be committed?
Well, yeah, commitment is not easy sometimes, right? It's, you have to believe in what you're doing. You have to believe in the business case, or you have to have that intrinsic motivation to make change and to become an inclusive leader. You know, it's not always easy to focus on things that are different to you. And things, I don't mean people by that, but I think skills that you need to use and to train yourself on that you normally or haven't used before as much as you would now. You know, it asks for change. It asks for perseverance. You know, and also to stay committed even when situations are challenging. So when I speak about that in the first podcast of the six traits model about the biases, for instance, you have these three common situations where you fall back into biases or old habits or old emotions or old ways of doing, you know, when there's a need for speed, when there's a lot of pressure on the business, or when you know, feelings over facts, when you prefer you know, situations more than others, or when there's too much information, you just make a quick choice. And those are situations where you might fall back into, you know, old ways of doing things. And when you are part of the majority, and when you are a leader that has not been in, you know, a lot of exclusion situations, it means that you need to push yourself to have that learning mindset and continuous commitment to look at everything that you do, if you don't miss out on anything, if you don't miss out on anybody, if you know. So I spoke about it in the on the summit as well a little bit. You know, when you have that intrinsic motivation, it's easier. I think intrinsic motivated leaders are more successful because you can also feel it and use your own experiences from the past. You know, I spoke about one of the examples was when I was working in Sweden and, you know, people talking Swedish when we were, you know, out for drinks or during lunch, and I felt excluded, although they didn't mean it on purpose. And those situations are ingrained in my ways of leading teams right now. I always make sure that when we have an international group of people, that people can be part of the conversation. The same as, you know, being the only woman or the only woman of color in situations, it really gets you more focused on being more inclusive, because your experiences and your values and your own intrinsic motivation will help you to commit to that. If you have that less, it doesn't mean that you would be less of an inclusive leader. It just means that you probably need to work a little bit harder to do it. And because becoming more inclusive is a journey for all of us, staying committed is not always easy. I think everybody can do it, as long as you have an open mind. And, you know, we will talk about those kind of things in the other traits as well, because all these six traits, you know, they empower each other. So staying committed to the long journey that this is not always easy.
Yeah.
And thinking about myself, you know, I'm not part of the LGBTQ community, for instance, or I am fully an able body. For me, it will be ask for more commitment to continuously understand and challenge situations that I don't know myself. So I completely understand why it could be, you know, sometimes hard for people to stay committed to the journey if they have less of, you know, own lived experiences, for instance.
Yeah. So what I hear you say is commitment. I think lots of people, if we bring up commitment, they probably ask, well, commitment to what, right? So what I hear you say is commitment to empathy, looking sort of, if I don't have the lived experience, then can I empathize with your experience and learn from that and take it with me? Commitment to learning, staying open to learning new things, and then also commitment to change, because it's a long game, because what we're trying to do in D&I is change the scene. Whatever our position is, I think that's what we're doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think commitment to the five other traits that we're talking about, really. And and I think also to add to the model, I think, the psychological safety, bringing in that team, I think it's really important to be able to stay committed, because then you can ask for feedback or check yourself if you are as committed as you think you are, because sometimes you also think that you're really committed and it's not perceived that way. It's a collective thing to do, commitment is hard but much needed on this journey.
Yeah, definitely agree. Now, if we move on to courage, how do you see the connection between inclusive leaders and being courageous? How do they need to be courageous in maybe different ways than other leaders?
Yeah. I think one of the traps that you could step into as a leader is thinking that you have to know the answers to everything, and that you cannot make any mistakes. Courage is so important to become more inclusive is, first of all, the courage to check yourself and to challenge yourself. Mentioning that you're wrong or mentioning that you don't have the answers always, or admitting that you made a mistake and owning up to it is not always easy for people. But it will create that connection that we need to become more inclusive. I believe the truer that you are, the more authentic that you are, will create the connection that will help us move forward. The connection to learn, to open, to stay in the conversation. So instead of trying to know it all and trying to show as you know it all, will not help. Stepping out of that comfort zone, stepping out of the box, will ask for courage sometimes. And that is about yourself, but also courage to challenge others. When you see something happening, when you see bias at play or you see unfairness at play, around you in conversations, in leadership even, the courage to speak up and to say and address what you see. It's not easy. Our brain wants to protect us. So you're stepping out of the majority or stepping out of the psychological safety of being part of the majority and stepping out to protect or support the minority is not always easy. It takes courage. But it's needed to build that inclusive organization. And then, of course, the courage to challenge the status quo and the policies and the culture and the way that we do things around here is also part of, being courageous. So I think, being courageous can be stimulated when there is a psychological safety to do it, right? And when there is also openness to feedback, then I think if you're allowed to make mistakes or allowed to step up or allowed to say and share feedback, I think courage can be stimulated a lot. And if we all feel that we can do that, then the learning curve will go much faster, and those six traits of being an inclusive leader can develop much, much, much quicker. So yeah, this being courage, it means that you sometimes have to take a risk, and it could also mean that you sometimes unintendedly hurt somebody or offend someone. if you do that, don't step out of the game, right? Don't step out of it and stay in the corner, stay in the conversation. Because I think, again, it all comes together with the six traits. When you stay committed and when you have that open mindset and you have, the courage to say that you don't always have it right, will create that, inclusiveness and feeling of belonging for everyone eventually.
Yeah. I think when I was initially thinking about the six traits and thinking about courage, I thought a lot about that piece of, well, lots of people who want to, well, further the D&I agenda in their companies, whether that's within HR, within recruitment, within the D&I group itself, sort of an employee resource group. I think lots of it is stepping out of that comfort zone and sort of risking a lot. Well, it feels like you're risking a lot to step up for or stand up for what you believe is right and true. Do you have an example that you can think of where you felt like you were risking maybe a lot or maybe an example where it was super well received, where you thought, well, I'm stepping up and being courageous in this step, and it turned out for the best, because I think those examples are really nice to have.
Yeah, I have a lot of those examples, but those are small ones, but impactful.
Oh yeah, those are the most important ones to learn from.
Yeah, and I think also the easiest to implement in your daily life tomorrow. It's just simply also in team meetings, looking at who is not speaking, or really listening to what is being said. Are people repeating the others and then, you know, walk away with that success? Or is somebody at the table not giving any time to speak? And I've been in multiple situations like that where I would not be the leader at the table, but then would say, sorry, hold on, I think that person would love to say something. And I would then take the risk of, you know, shutting the conversation down, not as a leader, but as, you know, part of the team, and create that momentum for the other. This can feel really comfortable when, you know, the level of inclusiveness in a team is great, but it could feel really, really scary when that inclusiveness is not there yet. And I've been in both situations, and of course the one that is more risky, is more scary, but, I have this, you know, intrinsic focus on, you know, fairness and justification that I just do those kind of things. But I can imagine that, you know, it can be a challenge for others to do that. I've seen others do it as well, right? Challenging the status quo, challenging leaders, whilst being in an all hands or out in the open. But if you do it with respect, because that is, of course, key as well. Everybody at the end of the day wants to feel respected, heard, and seen. Also the people that are making those mistakes. So if you do it with respect, and if you can explain why you do these kind of things, I think it can never go wrong. It will never be a bad thing to do, right? So a combination of, you know, taking that courage, taking that step forward, trying to support someone else that needs that support, whilst being respectful and very transparent in why you do things, I think that is the right combination to increase that courage at the workplace.
A really lovely summary. My follow-up question was going to be, so how do you do it then if people feel like it's hard to step up? I think that respect piece is super important. And then showing your intentions, right? I think lots of communication breaks down over people assuming your intentions or you assuming other people's intentions. Yeah. If you can come with an open sort of agenda and say, well, this is why I'm doing it and this is why I think it's important, then it hopefully can only be well received.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, lovely summary. Moving on swiftly to curiosity. Deloitte says inclusive leaders should be curious. In what way should they be curious, and what maybe is the most important piece about that curiosity?
Well, you know, bringing different people together in a team, I think if you want to leverage that, if you want to leverage from them the most, and have that broader look on ideas, perspectives, ways of working, experiences, you need to be interested and curious in who they are and what they bring to the table. So, you know, I think having that open mindset, having taking a step back as a leader and have the team discuss a problem first and see what comes out of that, making sure that everybody understands that curiosity will add to the conversation and will bring you know, more perspective to the table. I think at all levels, that is something that we can do. And specifically being curious to the group of people or the person that you normally don't interact with or interact with less than others. So yeah, curiosity, simply starting by asking questions, or, you know, or when you have this monologue about a problem, just ask, do you see it this way as well? Or do you have, you know, or can you think of another solution? You know, have those simple questions, opening up conversations and opening up meetings is what we need to do.
Yeah. It might also be a catalyst for that diversity of thought that I think lots of leaders are looking for in their organizations, right? They want to bring in diversity to be a catalyst for creativity, be a catalyst for innovation, problem solving. So that might be the key to it, to open up that conversation through curiosity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you think it relates closely to cultural intelligence, that curiosity piece, or is it more of a general curiosity? Because I was thinking about if you tie it to diversity in a way, well, within the D&I agenda, is it about that cultural intelligence piece, or is it just a lot more broad?
It's also, I think it's as broad as possible, right? Because cultural intelligence, yeah, absolutely, you know, so important. You know, I spoke about it in the podcast before this one. So yeah, also, you know, between the different cultures, you have to have that open mind and ask the questions and be curious to how you are being perceived as a person and how you perceive others. Be curious about the stereotypes that you use. You can use them, but have an open discussion about the stereotyping, right? Because it sometimes can help to touch upon that. But I think, you know, curiosity is on all levels and on everything, really, on, you know, identities, on experiences, on name it, right? So I think if you can bring your whole self to work and add as much as possible to that innovative process or more creativity to a process, I think you know, the more interesting things you can bring to the table, the better to eventually make that right decision. So yeah, it goes further than only cultural intelligence, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, fully agree. But I think that is where my mind initially went, thinking about it.
Sure.
What should we be curious about? And I think it's an easily reachable target if you say, I have this colleague that just joined, or I want to hire someone new for this role. I should be curious to the things that I don't know, or to the experiences that I have not had. But obviously it's a lot more than that. And I think that's maybe also what makes it more accessible then. Because if it's curiosity in general and it's an attitude that you bring to work and that you bring to connections to people, maybe that makes it easier.
Yeah. It's also, you know, it's also about state of mind. So when you have a bad day, for instance, and you bring yourself to work and you cannot fully perform that day because you are not okay, it's okay not to be okay sometimes, right? So also be curious about that. Hey, how are you doing? Simple question to have an answer on why that person, it might not be performed for a specific amount of time or a specific time. So, and then see how we can help, You know, that is also eventually leads up to higher performance because a person feels seen, heard, and valued. So yeah, it's more than only cultural intelligence. But I can completely understand why you ask the question, because that is such an obvious topic to first think about, you know, asking questions and being curious. Yeah, so I understand.
No, yeah, also a great example about that sort of psychological piece, or the smaller interactions between, well, how are you? That's also curiosity. I think if you take anything away, if you're listening right now, the how are you is already the start to the curiosity, I think, in any conversation. Now, collaboration. Collaboration, I think, is the pillar of the world of work nowadays anyway. If we're talking about, well, office settings, what have you, any team composition needs collaboration to a certain extent. Why do you think it plays such a big role for inclusive leaders to have an eye on that?
Bringing people to collaborate. So to me, collaboration is bringing people together and doing things together and leverage from each other's skills, experiences, and everything. So collaboration is just connecting the dots and making sure that that people can also learn from each other. So I think sharing learnings in a team is extremely important, because it spirals the learning mindset for growth and for high performance. So collaboration to me is listening to each other, sharing failures or sharing mistakes and learning from those, celebrating successes, put somebody in the spotlight if they achieved something that they want to share. And if you don't do that, then curiosity will also be killed a little bit, and a commitment will also be killed a little bit. So everything will be put a bit more on the carpet if you don't bring people together and you don't collaborate as much. So it's sort of the glue, same as commitment a little bit, the glue to everything, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you see then collaboration as almost a synonym to inclusion? Or are they a bit different?
Yeah, I think inclusion is a bit deeper than collaboration, because you can bring people together and have them work together. But really seeing and valuing everybody as their individual uniqueness goes a little bit further than that.
I definitely see that. But I think there's almost no way that inclusion can be done right if there's no collaboration. So maybe this way it definitely goes, but then collaboration is not all everything to inclusion.
Exactly.
The valuing the individuality and the uniqueness, as you just said, I think is key in that whole piece. It might also be that collaboration is probably the most straightforward out of the traits. If you think about inclusive leaders, or sort of how you lead a team, lots of talk around how do we work together. I'm not sure if that is also your assessment. That's why I kept it last, because I thought, oh, that might be one where people nod their heads when they're listening now and they're like, yeah, collaboration. We've heard it, you know?
Yeah, I think from the six traits, it might feel as the no-brainer. But having people collaborate to a level where people feel comfortable, included, and have a sense of belonging in that purpose of the team or organization, it's not an easy task. So it might be a no-brainer, but really collaborative teams and high-performing teams, building those teams, you know, you need to have all the other traits as well to make that happen, if you ask me. So yeah, I agree with you, and at the same time, I think you know, don't take it lightly, right? Stimulating collaboration as a leader is something that you also need to focus on every single day.
Yeah, it might be the most obvious one and the hardest to achieve then in the end, because people can work together in all different ways. That doesn't mean that they're very collaborative or that they feel very valued in that collaboration. Yeah. So I guess,
I think, you know, I think the definition of collaboration needs to be discussed in a team, right? What do we mean with collaborating? What do we mean with that? Is it just putting people together and work and make this work? Or do we have other behaviors that we want to see? And do we have other objectives that we want to reach? So I think that's very important.
Yeah, I'm glad we kept it last, because I think it really needs those other five pillars to work together for then everyone to be able to collaborate in a team and sort of feel seen and valued and feel included, most importantly, because I think that is an end goal of being an inclusive leader, is making sure that everyone has their voice heard, their uniqueness recognized.
Agreed.
Now, my last question before we already have to go, it's gone really fast.
Yeah. Goes fast, right? Yeah.
is if someone who's listening right now wants to become more inclusive in their leadership or is looking into inclusive leadership for the first time, where do you think they should start in terms of changing their leadership style?
I think you can start with educating yourself. There is so much out there that you can start reading, good books, good articles, get a better feel of it. You know, you have Jennifer Brown has a good book on how to become an inclusive leader. Start with that. Just educate yourself. Read. And secondly, if you already have a team, just start by having these open conversation. You know, this is the goal that I think we should achieve as a team. How can we get there together? And how? Because I don't have all the answers. So let's work on it together, right? So have that humbleness and courage as a leader to start changing the conversations in your team towards moving more into inclusion and belonging for everyone. And I think one of the key things is also be aware of the fact that you are the leader. So if you don't show that what it is that you want to achieve by, you know, showing those six traits and discuss them and have that culture of openness and feedback and checking and if you don't show it, if you don't really show that you want it, then I think the change will stay behind, because you as a leader need to lead the way, even though you don't know how to do it yet, right? But being open and vulnerable about what you want to achieve and that you are learning along the way, I think is, you know, those are, and educate yourself as well, I think are great steps forward.
Yeah, that's wonderful advice. I also can share that on our website, we have a blog of yours where you share five resources and how to, on inclusive leadership and how you can educate yourself further. So I'm going to also link that in the show notes.
I think I did a blog on D&I books, and the Jennifer Brown book, for instance, part of that. So very interesting books that you can start reading. And I think I wrote a blog about five podcasts.
Indeed. So lots of resources of yours out there, lots of advice on where to start. So I think our listeners can just hop on over to that link and then start educating themselves further. Thank you so much for sharing all of your perspectives, your wisdom and your expertise with us today. It was a pleasure having you on again.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. And Kat, I loved our conversation, and I hope to have many more of them in the future. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we definitely will. Thank you again. And thank you to everyone who was listening today. I hope you enjoyed this one.